Welcome to Real Money Radio, the show that focuses on real people, real problems, and real solutions. Here's your host, certified financial planner, David Holland.
And we're back, ladies and gentlemen. Thanks for coming back and being with me. I hope you're enjoying the program. I am, and I'll tell you why I enjoy it. We get to have on some pretty neat guests. Beth Muthart, my radio director, has pulled another really interesting topic out of her mystical, magical hat she keeps at her desk and lined up a great guest. Richard Barrett, the author of The Metrics of Human Consciousness, is on the line with me. Richard is an author, speaker, internationally recognized thought leader. His website is Richard Barrett, two R's and two T's, .net, richardbarrett.net, and another great website resource, valuescenter.com, T-R-E.com, valuescenter.com. And I mentioned the book, The Metrics of Human Consciousness. I'm really excited to have Richard on the program. He is internationally recognized thought leader on the evolution of human values in business and society. You wonder how a topic relates to the world of finance. Well, guess what? Values are often questioned or wondered if they're in the world of finance by many people. And I think that there is a movement afoot of businesses being held to a higher standard. And it is very interesting to understand more about this. So I'm very excited to welcome Richard to the program. Richard, how you doing?
Wonderful. Thank you. It's a pleasure to be with you.
Well, thank you very much. And I understand you have quite a bit of experience in this area. I mean, you've been a fellow of the World Business Academy, advisory board member of the Center for Integral Wisdom, honorary board member of the Spirit of Humanity Forum, and the former values coordinator at the World Bank. Wow. That's a lot of stuff. So from your very broad, deep, and I'm sure very well-seasoned experience and position or perspective, tell us a little bit about this concept of conscious capitalism and the integration of a value approach for businesses. We'll start there at maybe 100,000 feet and work our way down.
Okay, well, let me start talking about The Values-Driven Organization, which is a different book that I wrote. The byline on that one is Unleashing Human Capital for Performance and Profit. And really, the key to having a successful organization is to have high levels of employee engagement. And the key to high levels of employee engagement is caring about what your employees care about. And basically, you know, everybody you employ is on a journey. It sounds strange if I say they're on a journey of psychological development, but it's true. We're all growing and developing, and at different seasons of our lives, there are different things that are important to us. And if you, as an employer, recognize that your employees' needs and can care about those needs, then guess what? The employees care about you and your organization.
Well, that's pretty straightforward. I mean, so here's the one of several obvious or naive questions for you, Richard. Why don't more businesses do that?
Well, you know, the problem really is with the leaders. You know, we're stuck a little bit, or we have been stuck in this old paradigm of the power-based leader who, you know, doesn't get questioned, and it's my way or the highway. And we're coming towards the end of that paradigm, I think. And more and more leaders are recognizing that there's more to leadership than telling people what to do. It's about inspiring them and motivating them and getting them on board. And as a leader, not having answers to all the questions, but being able to distill the wisdom from the people that surround you so that you can have a really creative and viable organization. And so that's the key. That's really the key. It's a new leadership paradigm. Now, that's another title of one of my books, The New Leadership Paradigm. But anyhow, so it's really about, it's all about leadership and the creating a great corporate culture. So, the culture of an organization is actually a reflection of the leader's consciousness. And this gets us back to the topic of consciousness and measuring it. And, you know, let's dig into that a little bit.
Yeah, let's do that. How do you, I mean, that's the metrics part. How do you measure human consciousness and how does that relate to the world of business?
Well, so here's the thing. I've been doing this. My company has been doing this for 18 years now. I started doing this after I left the World Bank in 1997 and built a global company mapping the values of leaders and organizations. And by doing that, enabling the leaders to build strong, positive cultures and turn organizations around. And if you go to that valuescenter.com website, you'll find case studies there, you know, from all sectors of the economy. And we've worked with over 5,000 organizations in 70 or 80 different countries and over 4,000 leaders over this period. And the results have been, for the results of the leaders who have done the value surveys that we've done and taken on board the results coming from that, year by year, they've turned their companies around and have built highly profitable companies where the share price has increased, employee engagement has increased, income per capita, productivity has increased, and it's everything's gone up. So the question you asked is, how do we do that? Well, it's really simple. We ask people, employees, to pick 10 values from a list, which is customized for the organization, 10 values about who they are, 10 values how they see the organization operating, and 10 values how they'd like to see the organization operating. And every value they pick is linked to what I call one of the 7 levels of consciousness. This is a model that I developed way back in 1996-97, which explains the evolution of consciousness that we all go through.
So here's another obvious question that my listeners are going to want me to ask you, Richard, is, okay, if we subscribe, and I've heard this before, that, you know, that companies that have employees who are fully invested in the values and what the company's doing and are all in, so to speak, and are happy, that they those companies can be much more profitable and have better branding and have all the good things we would like to hear about a company to invest in. The big question is, how do you pick up on, how do you identify these traits? What are some of the characteristics? What are some of the, what's the footprint of a company who is walking in this manner and who has really embraced this kind of value-based approach, so that as investors, folks can consider these companies as part of their portfolio, as maybe a long-term good company to invest in?
Well, that's a really good question, and there are several ways of answering it. And in my book, The Values-Driven Organization, I explore that right up front. And one of the things that I noticed, and I've done this calculation twice now over different five-year periods, I looked at the best companies to work for, let's say in North America, and you'll find if you take the data from those companies, the publicly traded ones, quite a number of those are actually privately held, and you plot over the past 10 years, you do sort of like a reverse projection. You look back 10 years for these companies, and you then invest theoretically in these companies. And I got this work done by a friend of mine, or not a friend, but some people at Wells Fargo. I got them to do this. And the rate of return on these companies, the best companies to work for, is about 15%. And, you know, the S&P 500 grows at about 4 or 5%. Mm. And so, you know, right there, you've got a terrific way of doing that. When my friends at Wells Fargo saw this, they said, you know, have you told anybody about this? This is amazing. my suggestion, if you're thinking about wanting to invest, is to look at the best companies to work for, because,
yeah,
you know, right there, you've got in the title of best companies to work for, these are places where employees love to go and feel cared for.
Well, there you go. I mean, that is kind of the right to the heart of how to identify this. And I think it's actually a refreshing way to look at investing. I know that a lot of folks have embraced this concept for much time. But to me, Richard, it's really, you know, this concept of a, you know, these large amorphous institutions, can't be nailed down, can't be held accountable, profit above all else, where fines, penalties, and legal costs are just another line item on the income statement. You know, all of that, I think, is going to maybe over time give way or at least feel the pressure from this whole other way of looking at business and companies that are going to embrace, you know, the better parts of how to be a good corporate citizen and embrace what their employees really want to see for their companies, because what those employees want to see are often what the consumer want to see.
And that's absolutely right. And so, you know, when you focus on caring about your employees, caring about your customer, caring about your suppliers, caring about your local community, caring about the society in which you operate, they all care about you. And income then becomes a byproduct of what you are focusing on. I say income because you still got to manage your expenses before you get to profitability. But that's the key, you see, the key. And this takes an enlightened leader, because there's so much pressure on short-term results.
Sure.
And you know, the stock market prices, and it's all fear-driven. Of course, you know, when you care about people and care about your customers, you know, we're using the word love here. We're caring about people.
Right.
When you're fear-driven, but you know, you get the opposite result. You know, it's... I'm not saying that some of the companies that focus on profit only aren't successful, but there's a huge cost in turnover of employees who get burned out.
Right. Well, exactly. And that's really kind of the whole point of this. Richard Barrett, ladies and gentlemen, author, speaker, internationally recognized thought leader in this area, and I'm pleased to have him on the radio program. The website, richardbarrett.net, two R's and two T's, richardbarrett.net, valuescenter.com. The book is The Metrics of Human Consciousness, and Richard also mentioned another one of his very well-regarded books, The Values-Driven Organization, Unleashing Human Potential for Performance and Profit. Those are at his website as well as on Amazon.com. Quick break. We'll be right back with Richard.
Since 1997, David Holland has built a solid reputation in our local community as an independent financial advisor. Just as important, Holland Financial's professional team has grown to include 3 experienced certified financial planners, a tax accountant, an attorney, 3 chartered financial consultants, accredited asset management specialists, and certified annuity specialists. Our attentive and professional staff gives prompt and individualized attention to each and every one of our clients. Count on Holland Financial for your financial advice, not only for today, but for many years to come. Call Holland Financial at 671-PLAN or visit us online at planstronger.com.
And welcome back. Richard Barrett's on the line with us, ladies and gentlemen. RichardBarrett.net and the book Metrics of Human Consciousness. And so let me dig a little deeper, Richard, if we can, on this concept of the measurements, the metrics. And, you know, when you start talking about measuring this, what are the metrics? What are the, what's the yardstick that we use to measure this? Because that's, you know, observing and measuring is how you can evaluate and then draw conclusions and or, you know, take that information and do what you will with it going forward. What's the right way for us to approach that? And because I'm taking full advantage of what you're sharing with me, Richard, because I'm thinking in terms of my own business and having employees and how we work here and what we do for our clients. So I'm all ears.
Okay. Well, let's talk about the big picture first. Look, measurement matters. Whatever you measure, you can manage. Mm-hmm. You know, everybody in business knows that. The key, what we were talking about here, is measuring the intangible of consciousness and culture. And you know, and that's never been really done before. So the other important thing to realize is that when you can measure consciousness, you can make the evolution of consciousness conscious. Now, wow, you know, we've lived, human beings, we've been on the planet for 50,000 years. We've never been able to make the evolution of consciousness conscious before. And here's a way of doing it. Now, so you know, what is the consciousness? And, you know, consciousness is about how you relate to the world and what you consider important. I say consciousness is awareness with a purpose. And when you're living from, as you go through the different stages of your life or the seasons of your life, you start off very much in the ego-driven mode. You develop a sense of your own ego and how you fit into the cultural framework of your existence and how you can become viable and independent in that framework. In other words, how to be successful. And so you learn how to fit in, and you learn the beliefs of the culture you live in, and you drive for success that way. Now, that's all well and good until you get to about 30 or 40 years old and you begin to realize that there's not much meaning in life with you following that path, and you begin to search for something more. I call that the soul aspect. You know, you just begin to search for who you really are outside of all of this parental programming and cultural conditioning, and you begin to find that, you know, the deeper values that you hold in your heart are actually the values that other people also share, their deeply held soul values, and you begin to want to align with those values. At the same time, when you get into your 40s, you begin to realize that, you know, this boring work you've been doing, which is earning you a fantastic amount of money, but isn't really satisfying, and you're feeling depressed, you won't begin to realize, well, what is it that I'm, what am I passionate about? What do I love to do? And there's the secret, because that's, in a sense, what I would call your soul purpose. That's really what you came to do in this world. And now you need to align your business with your soul purpose. And when you can align your business with your soul purpose and lead a values-driven life and a purpose-driven life, that's when it all begins to take off and you begin to be really successful at what you do. And that passion that you feel draws people in who share the similar sorts of values and have a similar sort of purpose. And that's how you create a highly successful organization, in addition, from a leader's point of view, in addition to all of that other caring about other people and caring about your employees, your suppliers, et cetera, et cetera. So the secret is all about leading yourself, understanding who you are, and moving through these higher stages of psychological development so you can follow your heart and follow your passion and inspire people to follow you.
Well, that was an outstanding summary, Richard. I like that. And that when somebody can get there, the business owner, the business leaders can get there, and I've had some experience with it, it feels like almost like electricity running through your body, that you're just tuned in and you're channeling this energy in the way you feel like it's really meant to be done. And it's exhilarating. I mean, there's just no other way to say it. It's exhilarating to get to that place.
Yeah, it is. And, you know, the slight danger, which is another burnout danger, is you get so filled with joy and purpose that you get to keep balance in your life, you know?
That's true.
You know, the other sort of burnout is the fear-driven burnout of not being successful and getting everything done on time, whereas, you know, the shadow aspect, if you like, of this higher thing is that you just want to live it more and more because it's what you love to do. And you have to be a little careful about making sure that you keep your life in balance. But for the majority of the leaders who operate in this more enlightened way, that isn't so much a problem because the joy they feel from fulfilling their purpose actually affects every aspect of their life. And they tend normally to lead a balanced life.
Well, I tell you what, Richard, I think that's an outstanding way of viewing this, and I'd like to come back. I'd grab a quick break, we'll come back. I'd like to talk to you a little bit more, jumping back over to the employee engagement part of this for the business. I'd like to talk a little bit about some of the top values you see espoused by the employees and what they're looking for, maybe get some examples from you. Richard Barrett, ladies and gentlemen, if you're just joining us, richardbarrett.net. The book is The Metrics of Human Consciousness. We'll be right back with a short break.
How's this for convenient one-stop shopping? Holland Financial offers so many services through its subsidiaries, like fee-based investment management, financial planning, retirement and estate planning, fixed annuities, long-term care, disability and life insurance, and tax return preparation. Our founder, David Holland, also has specialized training to serve as a trustee and executor for families wanting sound financial stewardship for their beneficiaries. Many of your neighbors and local families have chosen Holland Financial because we've helped them plan stronger. Call 671-PLAN and meet with David one-on-one. Or visit Holland Financial at planstronger.com. Do you have financial questions you'd like answered on this show? Send them to questions@planstronger.com. You will remain anonymous.
And welcome back. Richard Barrett on the line with us, ladies and gentlemen. Author, speaker, internationally recognized thought leader, richardbarrett.net, and the book Metrics of Human Consciousness. And I wanted to go back, Richard, because I think it's actually kind of strikes me as really one of the core concepts of this value-based approach for businesses. And this is also a little bit of selfishness or self-serving on my part, this question, because I'm curious about what you've seen over the years as being the most popular, or maybe give us some examples of some of the top values that employees have put forth as what they look for in their company or what they think their company should be doing in terms of the values-based component of the business.
Well, I'm going to take two approaches to answering that question.
Sure.
One approach is to recognize actually a sort of like a who we really are at the deepest level of our existence. And I see myself as a soul operating in this three-dimensional physical world. And from that perspective, the key to successful life is self-expression. That's what souls want. They want to express who they really are. And the two aspects of that, that's contribution and connection. So we get into connection through learning to care for and love other people and lead a values-driven life. And we get into making a contribution through exploring our creativity and living a purpose-driven life. And so that's one, that's the big overarching idea. The other idea is this, that everybody is on this journey of evolution or psychological development or whatever you want to call it, but where we move through different stages at different periods of our lives. Surely during the first 20 or 30 years, you are driven by your own self-interest. And that's normal because, you're single, you're looking to set, wanting to be, when you enter the working world at 20, you're at what I call the differentiating stage of development. You want to be respected, you want to belong, but you also want to be respected and recognized for who you are. And so employees in their 20s, that's what they're looking for. If you follow the stages of development naturally, the next stage in your 30s, you move into what I call the individuating stage, where you want freedom and accountability, and you want to feel a sense of authenticity, and you want challenges because you want to grow and develop. So first it begins with recognition, and then you begin to want to feel a sense of accountability and freedom in what you're doing. Autonomy, let me put it that way. And then as you move into the 40s, you get into that stage of self-actualization where you begin to find out what you're really passionate about, and that brings meaning to your life. So now, in your 40s, you're really beginning to look for a sense of meaning in the work that you're doing, and so helping employees find that sense of meaning by helping them understand how the vision of the organization links to their own personal gifts and talents that they can bring. That enables them to feel a sense of meaning. As we move into our 50s, it changes again, because having found a sense of meaning now, we really we get so much joy from that we just want to make a difference in the world. And in order to make a difference, we need to be able to collaborate with other people so we can make a bigger difference. And so at this stage, we link up in strategic alliances and partnerships, and we collaborate with others to make a bigger difference in the world. And then when you get to your 60s, many people retire, but many people don't. And I'm a good example of that. I just can't even bear to think about the idea of retirement. I just had my 70th birthday. I'm like a spring chicken,
You're just getting warmed up.
And I feel like a spring chicken. And I'm, my mother lived to be 100, and I plan to, beat her. Anyhow, having said all of that, at this stage of life, it's all about serving others. It's about you get your joy from mentoring and coaching and helping others to grow and develop. And so at each of these seasons of our lives, these stages of psychological development, what we're looking for in our, from our employment is slightly different. And in my book, The Values-Driven Organization, in Chapter 3, I talk about what employees want. And so one size doesn't fit all. That's my point. I think you need this deeper understanding of the stages of psychological development in order to figure out, you know, what your employees want.
Fair enough. I mean, because you are right, Richard. There's no question about it. Everybody's different. Everybody's got different expectations. And an organization might have people that are in their 20s to their 60s at different points in their own little journey. And from a, you know, from an employer perspective, your point is very well taken, because, you know, it's not going to be the same for everybody. The employer, the business owner, need to be sensitive to what's important to everyone, but also to the individual.
Yeah, and it's also different in terms of what business you're in. You know, if you're in a white collar business and you're attracting graduates and well educated people, what I just talked about is, you know, probably the way to go. But if you're in a blue collar business and these are people who've not had a great education and are still operating from the lower stages of psychological development, there's nothing wrong with that. You know, this is perfectly normal. Then what they're looking for is respect and recognition. They're looking for acknowledgement. And if they're really, you know, operating, if they're having trouble in their life, and have large families, they're really, you know, income is really important to them. Survival is really important to them. Friendship is really important to them. Relationships are important. And respect and recognition. And you know, they also need a sort of a pathway to the future. In other words, they need hope. They need to see, they need to be able to know that if they move along this progression and feel the sense of, get the sense of recognition for being accountable, that there is something beyond that for them. And
I tell you what, Richard, we'll direct them to your book, and because we're out of time. Richard Barrett, ladies and gentlemen, get the book, More from Richard, The Metrics of Human Consciousness and the Values-Driven Organization, Unleashing the Human Potential for Performance and Profit, richardbarrett.net. Richard, we'll have you back. It was a great program. Thank you, sir.
Okay. Well, happy to do so.
Today's edition of Real Money Radio has been brought to you by Holland Financial, conveniently located on Granada Boulevard in Ormond Beach. Could you benefit from a one-on-one confidential conversation with David Holland, or would you like a second opinion to make sure that you're on the right track? Call Holland Financial at 671-PLAN or visit us at planstronger.com to schedule your no-obligation consultation. David looks forward to discussing the financial issues that matter most to you. The host of Real Money Radio, David Holland, is a certified financial planner with over 20 years of experience. And because David provides advice to clients on a daily basis, his hyperactive compliance department wants us to tell you that David Holland is an investment advisor representative of Holland Advisory Services, a registered investment advisory firm. He offers insurance and annuity products through Holland Insurance Services. Commentary given during this radio program should not be considered investment, insurance, tax, or legal advice. Views expressed concerning specific securities are not an offer to buy or sell. Investment advice and planning services can only be given after an analysis of an individual situation and only where Holland Advisory Services is registered or exempt from registering. Real Money Radio is produced by Holland Productions.